One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
All right, welcome to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Bobby, and I'm here with Dave. Dave,
hey,
how you doing?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good, good, good.
So we're doing a little fix-it right now.
We are. We're doing a fix-it. We did a live podcast this week, and we had a few audio problems. There was a few issues. Dave furiously threw the recorder down in anger in
objection,
the mid-show.
Objection.
Yeah.
I was faultily handed it by someone clumsy, and it dropped.
You were handed the mic, I think, and you pulled the recorder with it.
I don't know.
Yeah. So
I will
we
not
lost,
take fault for this.
We lost the intro to that particular episode. And so
you and I were just trying to catch people up right now.
Right. We're going
to
catch you up.
Before
most
we launch
of it,
into the episode.
Yeah, we only lost like the first few minutes, but it doesn't make sense without it. And then also, I just thought it'd be funny to put the episode in context, given that it was just a really interesting show that we did.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We've been plugging this one for a while. This was the show over at The Landing. The first time we tried to do the show, nobody
Disaster.
Showed up. This time, we actually had a few people show up.
It was a decent crowd.
Yeah, some Degenerates fans. And what was funny is Dave and I were talking. We found out right before the show, Ryan was like, you know, you guys aren't going to do stand-up. We're going to do the podcast, right?
The three of us, we didn't do comedy.
Right. We were just going to do the live podcast. And at first, you're like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. And we went there and we got in and we loaded everything up. We loaded the gear up, got the equipment going. And the first comedian goes up and it's Andrew Tarr, who's really funny.
Good
young
comic,
guy.
Yeah.
Really funny. And Dave and I are sitting in the back laughing hysterically, and he's got this room in the palm of his hand. And it's funny because right around this time I start thinking, and Dave, you mentioned that you thought the same thing, which was, man, I kind of wish I was doing stand-up tonight. Like, this is such a hot crowd.
Yeah, this would be fun to perform at.
Almost as if our consciousnesses had a oh yeah button on it. Dave and I are sitting in the back. These two, to call them drunk would be a disgrace to the word drunk. Whatever they were was so far beyond drunk. It was ridiculous. And these two guys come wandering in the bar.
Bar regulars, obviously, who happened to be there that night. And just, they were like Statler and Waldorf without any of the endearing qualities.
They were yelling and loud and laughing. And I guess I was sitting in one of their seats and there was like a bucket of half-drank beers in front of me. He's like, oh, my seat, get out. And I was like, all right, whatever. Just shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah.
Come on. They are just loud and obnoxious, and they totally ruin Andrew's set. Like, he's in the middle of a fucking killer set, and it just drops off a cliff due to no fault of his own.
They weren't yelling or heckling in a mean way, if that makes sense at all. They were, it was almost like each of them was Emperor Nero, and this performance was for them personally, and they were just like
yelling, commentating.
Yeah.
Sometimes it had nothing to do with the show.
Yes.
They're just yelling at each other.
Right.
One dude,
who's got the coke?
Yeah. One dude was just like the most disheveled East County trash you could imagine. The other guy was like a Mexican guy who spoke very broken English, and they were both really drunk.
To be fair, I think his English was better when he was sober. I think the drunkenness played
enough.
A part in that.
Fair enough. The super disheveled East County guy, he was just the worst. He was clearly the ringleader of that shit fest. And he totally ruined Andrew's set and like the next one up. And I was sitting there going like, shit, do we just call this show? How do we get there's no bouncer? But again, this bar doesn't do comedy. They don't have somebody who is it. And the bartender is still serving them during this time. Anyway, eventually at some point, the leader, the East County white trash dude, just announces super loudly that he has to go get coke. And and so he leaves the bar and it quiets down. And I was like, oh, well, at least this is, you know, thank heaven for small miracles because we're going to start our live podcast soon. So we start our live podcast. He's gone. That's super exciting.
Yep.
Again, Dave throws the recorder down, trashing the first few minutes of the podcast.
Objection. God damn it.
We were discussing the thing Ryan brought up, and you'll hear it because we're halfway through this topic. He brought up, have you ever had a friend that went nuts? You know,
like a friend from your past that you kind of haven't kept in touch with, and then they resurface, and they're wild extremists.
Batshit crazy. In his case, I think it was about guns or something like that.
It was this guy, Ryan's, the example that started this topic. Ryan was talking about an old, I think a school friend of his who came back complaining about white genocide.
Yes, that's right. And white genocide. And it comes up a few times during the show. So if you're wondering what we're talking about, Ryan was had a buddy who kept yelling, don't you know about white genocide? And Ryan's like, well, not really. I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Yeah. And as you're listening to the rest of this episode, you'll hear when the two resident drunks come back, you'll notice throughout the show.
It's so great. So they come back and they start loudly making noise. And you'll hear that I get to take a few snipes at them. I think at one time Ryan asked me a question. And the greatest part about doing this is we can mock these people because we started mocking them while they were gone.
Yes.
Like, hey, how about that? Those crazy people in back? We didn't know they were coming back.
Yeah.
And they come back and we keep making fun of them and everybody in the audience loves it, but these guys have no idea
yeah,
we're
they have
talking
no
about
idea
them,
what's going on.
Which is awesome. Yeah. The only thing better than an asshole getting his own is an asshole getting his own while a bunch of people laugh at him and he doesn't know yeah, it's happening.
Absolutely.
They interrupt Mikey Gordon
that
at one point.
Live action vigilante justice is what that
it was ridiculous. At the very end, if you listen closely, at the very end, right before we cut out of this, you'll actually hear one of them because we give away a machete during
yeah, the only other thing you need to know about this episode is at the beginning, part of the recording that was lost. Bobby, in his infinite wisdom, decided that a dive bar in East County is a perfect place to give away a weapon
yep,
to somebody.
But they
the
had
audience,
to know about degenerates, so they had to be our fans.
That might be worse. I don't know.
And at the end, though, one of the drunken guys, the guy who was not the ringleader, the guy who spoke the broken English, comes up and you can actually
don't
hear
spoil it for him. Listen, they'll hear it.
Okay, you'll hear him insisting on something, and you can probably hear it as you if you listen closely near the end there. Very, yeah, very interesting show. It was fun just to have the degenerates yeah, in a room like it always is. They were an awesome audience for the stand-ups when they could hear yeah, them. It was a little bit of a shit show with those two guys, and it's just proof that two guys yeah, can kind of ruin a comedy show.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. So as we launch into the episode, just keep in mind, there's a machete giveaway coming at the end. There's a couple drunks who are disruptive, and Ryan was talking about his crazy friend from his past complaining about white genocide, and then away we go.
Perfect. Let's do it.
All right, we're going to start over real quick. No, I'm just kidding. No, Shores, you definitely know about this one. Bobby, maybe. There's a couple, two very specific comedians that I'm thinking of. They used to be normal. They used to be in the scene. They would host shows at the Comedy Store. They'd be around all the time. It disappeared for a little while, came back a few years later. One of them is a full-on Sandy Hook never happened,
oh,
chemtrails are real conspiracy theorist. And he is like legit. Like if you, he talks like he kind of is, he speaks in enough a way that you think he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But you can poke holes in what he's saying.
Okay.
But he's like has such, you know who I'm talking about, right? Dangerous Dick.
Oh, Dangerous Dick, yes. Yeah. This guy started, like when I started, he was like a fucking legit comic.
Yeah, he was like a mentor to a lot of comics. He was like a legit comic, he would host shows.
And now he has like tinfoil hats on, he's like just like rubbing himself in shaving cream. I don't know what he does with his time.
Like he still now is talking about Obama coming to take your guns. Like that's how crazy he is. But like chemtrails are real. Sandy can never happen. He's nuts.
Okay.
So that's like one example that I know for sure. And right, I know you know him, so you
yeah,
know what I'm talking about. Bobby, what do you got?
All right, so mine is a little darker, which I like. I grew up with a dude
who's in the back of the bar before now.
Yeah. I grew up with a guy who was one of those self-entitled rich kids. You know, the ones who got a Lexus on their 16th birthday?
Ugh.
So he's one of those kids. Later, while I was in college, we discovered that he got caught because he had knocked a girl up, didn't tell his family, was afraid he'd have to pay child support. So he snuck into her house and strangled her and hung the baby with a cell phone charger.
What?
Yeah.
Droid or iPhone? Just saying, it might make a difference.
Yeah, one of those, it's the baby's fault, right? It was a funny thing because this guy's family then, because he was so used to having everything handed to him, he was really confused about going to jail. He was like, yeah, I killed this young woman.
Oh, and so that's my fault.
And her yeah, infant son. But shouldn't my dad be able to buy my way out of this?
He was, this probably happened long before, but he was probably hoping to get like Brock Turner type of judge. Like,
oh,
you
yeah,
know
yeah,
what? This guy's not going to do well in jail. Let's just give him a minimum penalty and send him on his way.
What was great, and I love this, is that you guys ever hear the thing where a judge goes rogue and gives a sweet-ass sentence that's not on the books? This judge gave the sweetest sentence. He's like, yeah, you're going life in prison. Yeah, that's true. But you know what else? You have to have a picture of this woman and her kid posted in your jail cell every day for the rest of your life.
I love it.
He went super vigilante justice on it. And I guess at one point the guy got, the guards caught the guy taking the pictures down or putting his coats over the pictures. So they took away his coat.
Why do you have a coat in the first place? Let's talk about that. What kind of federal country club is he at?
Yeah, right.
That's a very white collar facility.
That one was good and totally expected. And by the way, can't we all just feel good that the rich kid who got the Lexus when he's 16 has got life in prison
yes!
right now?
You know that? All right, so going back to Dave's one about, like, you know, the guy that's always about Sandy Hook didn't happen. I always get fucking bummed out when there's a shooting, not because people died. Because
that doesn't bum me out. That's not a reason to be bummed out. Come on.
It's really not for that. It's more that I'm about to find out which of my friends are stupid.
Yeah.
And it's about to be a bunch of them. And the thing is, I'm not saying you're stupid if you hate guns or you're stupid if you like guns. I'm saying there's stupid people on each side of that, and you're about to find out which ones they are.
Yeah.
Because on each side, there's the ones that don't like guns that go, if there was no guns, murder would never happen. We'd be artists. We'd all be artists. If we had no guns, crime wouldn't happen. And then on the other side, they're like, I love this guy. Hey, I'm sorry. I never saw my gun get out of its safe and go kill someone by itself. Oh, isn't that fucking enlightening? So this guy's like, he's noticed that his gun via Pixar movie has never come to life and gone shooting people, and he thinks it's news. It's new. I'm sorry. I never see it happen.
I would take the we'll all be artists person over the other dude all day long.
No, I don't want either of them. I just want people like, maybe there should be some laws. I'm fine with that. But here's the thing. It gets scary because you start to worry about who's going to fucking shoot up a place. And last episode of this is like a two-part story here, is Bobby, you mentioned that there is a guy that came into a show like this and just got on the mic and said, I'm going to kill every one of you motherfuckers. And here's the thing.
Well, he said it funnier than that.
No, he didn't. No, he yelled it louder.
It was markedly less funny than what I did. My delivery is pretty solid. But here's part two to this. We found out he had done this 1 week before at the Go Lounge. And one of the comics you saw tonight, who is here, dragged him out. Mikey Gordon, can you come to the stage, please? I have got to know what went on with this lunatic, because I know what happened with Bobby's thing. He went up and said, I'm going to kill everyone.
So. I don't want him shooting up this place. Yeah. We're not live broadcasting, are we?
Right.
That guy doesn't own a computer.
So he was at the Go Lounge, and I was acting like an asshole. It's like,
how so?
Okay, so I hold the mic for a second. Right. He was sitting up right by the mic, just being like, Right. The Go Lounge, where sometimes there's more coke dealers than comedians there. It's one of my favorite spots in town. I like that. They sponsor my wrestling shows too. But, hey, you gotta get in where you fit in, you know what I'm saying? So this asshole sitting up there like clapping, being a dick, right? You know, he pissed off Dan Marganski, who's like one of the most chill dudes that I fucking know.
Real nice guy.
Right? So he was sitting up there, so I said to Dan Samuel, I go, hey man, we should say something to this fucking dude. You know, so me, Dan, and Damien walked up to him, you know. It's just Ted. Yeah. This guy's asking himself questions back there. He's answering them too.
Just keep going.
Keep going, sorry. Dan, Damien, and I are up there. We're like, hey, man, you should chill it out. And he's not responding to any of us. I said, hey, is that your jacket? So he grabbed his jacket, and I was like, oh, shit, this is going to get physical, right? So Dan, like, grabs his one arm. I grabbed his other arm, and then he started to get all UFC on me, right? Pull my legs. So I grabbed him in front face lock, and I gave him a guillotine choke. So, like, he's way taller than I am. And he was, like, off the ground. His feet were off the ground, right? And I moonwalked all the way out of the Go Lounge. My back was toward the door. That was the only way I was going to get him out. So I was like Michael Jackson, that shit. And then we got outside, and I threw him off or whatever. What was fucked up is 20 minutes later, he just walked back in the front door and sat down. Swear to God. So I was like, oh, shit, this guy might like break a bottle and stab me or some shit. So I fucking left. You know?
And that's how the terrorists win.
Right? Before my featured set at the Go Lounge, I was like, fuck, dude. My featured set.
How you doing, everybody?
Hey, real quick. Mikey has a dedication tattooed on his forearm. And at the show we did earlier, Josh Krebs was saying he's got successful tattooed on his. Yes. I feel like you guys need to team up, be the tag team champions of the San Diego Wrestling League. Make that happen.
Everybody give it up one more time for Mikey.
Yeah.
Mikey, stick around. It looks like we might need you again.
Practice that moonwalk, buddy. Keep the feet fresh.
Yeah. Speaking of dangerous scenarios, I don't know if you guys are regular Degenerates listeners, you probably know that we're doing a weapons giveaway today.
Woo!
Nobody seemed to notice.
I know who's not getting it.
Yeah.
And by the way, we've invited that other comic to the show. He'll be here anytime now.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Nobody seemed to notice this entire time that I was walking around with a machete. But
yeah,
at
no
some
one
point,
as, he had a fucking sword on him.
At some point, at the end of this, we'll be giving this away to one person who is not sleeping on the street tonight.
Yeah.
You must prove a residence before you're in. Anyway, so, Bobby, what is your strategy when someone's being unruly as shit at a bar show before you have to go up?
Well, my first one, at least tonight, was to not get in a fight with a machete.
You've got the upper hand. What are you talking about? You already have the advantage.
That's a 0 to 60 real quick technique. I usually just like to poke fun at them when they're not really paying attention or know that I'm talking about what a dirt person they are. That's my goal.
Next thing I wanted to talk about is you mentioned that your kid, he had to get taken to the hospital. Is he okay?
Yeah, dude, check this out.
Bobby hit him with a machete.
White genocide, I knew it!
Work on your reflexes, son. Come on.
To be fair, that kid wouldn't shut up during Andrew Tarr's set, so. No, this is funny because I realize that the doctor is a weird place because it's the only place where they fuck up your shit and then charge you for it, right? I took my kid in for a 9-month checkup. There's nothing wrong with him. You just have to take him in because they're babies and
he's
they
completely
might,
healthy. Yeah. He just needs to be.
They might, I don't know, they just like might stop breathing or something. I have all no right. fucking clue, but sure. You got to take him in. So I take him in, I check him in like a library book for the 9-month checkup, and he gets sick. He gets this horrible disease, he's coughing, he can barely
what,
breathe.
What, because he's at the office?
Yeah, yeah, he gets it at the office. And he gets this horrible disease. The nurse even says, yeah, he caught it here on Friday when we took him in. He's in horrid shape, barely breathe. They have to give him all this medicine. And then we got a bill. And what? We got a bill from the doctors of like, okay, you had to bring him in, we had to give him medicine and treat him. And it would be like, it'd be like if you went to an auto body shop and you parked in their parking lot and one of the mechanics accidentally ran into your car and he goes, we're going to charge you about $500 to knock that one out.
That sounds like job security to me. I don't know what you're getting upset about.
Right. And then the funny thing is we ended up he got like too high a fever. And when babies get too high a fever, you have to take them to the ER. So last night we took him to Rady's Children's Hospital. And we've made the mistake of taking him there before. And I don't know if you guys have a kid and have ever been to Rady's Children's Hospital. It's like $20,000 a night. And so my wife and I are sitting there in the ER, and I'm doing the math in my head, like every second that we get closer to the doctor is another mortgage on our house. And so I go, hey, hon, what if his temperature's going down? Then we can leave, right? And she's like, I mean, I guess, but how would we know? We're just in the waiting room. So I book it out of there at about 90 miles an hour to the nearest CVS pharmacy, grab a rectal thermometer for a baby, come back.
I went for himself.
Yeah. That was for later. Come on back and routinely check his temperature in the ER's waiting room until it goes down enough that I feel justified in leaving without thinking my son's gonna die. And I realize that is the new American medical system. It's basically, what kind of house-type doctoring can you do on your own in the ER waiting room?
You're like a MacGyver.
Suit, probably.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
So no, I love this whole fucking system that we have of we're the big corporation, so we can fuck up as much as we want, and you give us extra money. Fuck it. Right. There's no consequences. Like, I love this one too. Is that like every time I've missed a credit card payment, like I get a notice like your credit score is now lower. Good luck getting a house, motherfucker. You're fucking done. And then
Charles like,
sudden,
I already got a house. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. Well, no second one for me. But all of a sudden, I get a fucking notice from Equifax. Hey, we compromised 7 million people's security. You probably had your identity stolen. That's our bad. We're not gonna compensate you in any way. Good luck, motherfucker.
Yeah, the doctor one is especially good, too, because they can always hold it over your head, right? Like, if you miss a car payment and they're like, hey, we're going to repo your car, you're like, well, that sucks. It's going to be hard to get to work, but I guess I'll have to Uber. But if it's a doctor, they're like, we're going to take that kid. He's ours now. Yeah. Welcome to white slavery. Oh, that's the white genocide.
White genocide.
That's
white
it. Genocide. We discover it's all connected back to the medical field. And again, it's not like
I'm obviously like he's too expensive anyways. Keep him.
Yeah, we're underwater on this kid. The mortgage payment's too high. Again, I'm a white dude with insurance, and I can't fucking afford to take the kid to the doctor.
Dude, I gotta say, I'm very sensitive about that joke because. The one time I got actively booed by an entire audience, I it was over like the expense of a kid. It was right when Amanda Berry was found, like locked in that house. And I decided to go for it. I said they found a girl that was been locked up for like 10 years, and that's a good way to save money. And they did not find that funny. Things were thrown. Anyway, so okay, so speaking of kids, by the way, and we talked about guns too. All these kids staged a walkout of their high school, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You ever hear about that? Okay. A lot of people were psyched. A lot of people were not. I like the people that were not. Their big thing was, hey, they were eating Tide Pods last week.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, but you get that there's stupid ones and smart ones,
yeah, not
right?
Not all of them are doing that shit.
And I like that the same people that said that, it's like, hey, this guy that had a gun killed a bunch of people. Hey, that was a bad one. That was a bad one. That's not. Hey, there's different ones. Let's not generalize here. No generalizing. Yeah, but all the kids eat the Tide Pods. That's the thing. So there was that. However, I do have to say this about the walkout. I'm not as impressed as everyone else is because when I was a kid, there was a walkout at my high school. And I didn't know what it was about, but I really wanted to get high. So I suddenly got really fucking enthused about the cause. So what it turned out to be for was they were protesting the Iraq war that had just started. And I didn't give two fucks. And I also didn't want to be like lumped in with the hippies. So I didn't want to walk out with them. So I started it all in the name of recovering some warm Budweisers that I had hidden near campus in some bushes. I started a pro-war protest where I started to like actually be in favor of the Iraq war.
The bad thing about being on the anti-war protest when you run into the pro-war protest is you're kind of sure who's going to win that fight. I do like that you secret away Bud Lights in the bushes like a squirrel, just in case. Like if the apocalypse
they
comes.
They were regular Budweisers, okay? I did not drink Bud Light. I'm not a girl.
like if the apocalypse comes in the middle of class and he's got 2 seconds, he's like, fuck it, I'm just going to go get this done.
Oh, no. I had shit stashed all around campus. All a 15-minute walk away. I had a six-pack of Budweiser in some bushes. I had cigarettes in some dead guy's mailbox. They knew he was... I didn't kill him, okay? Let me just put that out there.
To this day, some teens will find beers that have been stashed by Ryan Shores.
I am a trailblazer. I am a hero. We don't all wear capes. But anyway, so did you ever, like, protest anything, Bobby? I feel like you might have.
No, I'm not much of a protester, except for when it comes to
white genocide,
unfair doctor bills. That is literally no. I do that. I go a lot. I protest against companies that try and screw you over. Whether it's the doctors who are trying to fuck you over, or somebody who has overcharged you. I've had mechanics try and screw me over.
You're like the Turcophile.
I am. I'm like the Turcophiles. That is my protest. I protest that and bad parkers. I would like to stand outside. Everybody who parks like 3.5 feet away from a curb and thinks they're done, I want to stand outside there with picket signs.
I'm with you on that one. That's my team.
So, Bobby, what was your plan to give away this fucking weapon
wisely
brought to a dive bar in El Cajon?
All right.
If you have a better weapon, you can take it from him. That's how this works.
All right, guys. So I thought it'd be fun since we had a few people come on out for Degenerates. I wanted to do a Degenerates trivia.
Oh, like anyone knows.
I wanted to do it, and so I think it will be a fairly easy question. Do you guys want to also do a question, or should it just be one?
Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
So our system will be just raise your hand if you think you know this
just
answer.
Just as a quick aside, I think the bartender is calling 911 as you wave that machete around. They won't respond. That's right.
I think that's pretty clear.
They're already here.
They have their own vigilante justice.
Again, raise your hand if you think you know the answer. We have a reoccurring bit on The Degenerates in which I go after somebody who has wronged me. What is that bit? John Groobs.
Vigilante justice.
All right.
All right.
All right, Ryan, come up with a question, and I'll come up with a
rule. He doesn't get the machete.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you've been eliminated. When you answer a question, you're eliminated. That's how this works.
Okay. Put these in order. Which one of us has been divorced? Which one of us used to fight MMA? Which one of us is an archaeologist?
Hands.
Divorce, challenge, MMA, Ryan, archaeologist, Bobby.
That's all true. Right, so it's 1-1. So now we need a tiebreaker between the two of them.
Asterisk next archaeologist, by the way. He's a grave robber.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Neither one of them. Okay.
I trust them both implicitly, I promise.
We rode over here together.
All right. All right, so it's the tiebreaker between these two, right? All right, pick a number between 1 and 30.
12. Oh, 3. Oh. 23. 30.
What did I tell you?
17. John Groobs.
Groobs. John Groobs is armed. Everyone be careful.
All right, I'm supposed to give this to you outside, Groobs.
Okay. All right.
With the sheath.
Johnny's going to give it to you blade first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, this isn't actually an archaeologically used machete. I had to carry this for quite some time.
Blah, blah, blah. Here we go.
He dug it up on a corpse.
I slaughtered many a native with it.
How many rope bridges have you covered?
Yeah. It was more of pulling hearts out. All right. I think that's good, Ryan.
All right. Let me borrow your life.
I'm honestly shocked you don't have one already.
Let's get the owner up here real quick, buddy. Where can people find this place? Elgo, what's the address here for our listeners?
1185 East Main Street, El Cajon.
Come on down, we love it here. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having us. Give it up for the man. Let's get a picture here. All right. All right.
One to everyone.
Yeah. Oh.
All right.
Ring the bell.
Woo! That's right. Around all the house.
Yeah. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby in the Landing. Saying, see you next week. Cruising with the Twos.
Oh, yeah, time passing by. Oh. Motherfucking time is passing.